Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. I'm looking at the table set up here, and I'm not entirely comfortable with it for some reason. Let me see if I'm also looking for my, you know how I always have notes of everything I want to talk about? Oh, there they are. Okay, good. That would have been messed up. This is too special of a show for me to screw it up. But let's start by rearranging the furniture. Tonight's episode is brought to you by IKEA and all of their lovely products that aren't on this stage right now. Thank you. Scott Aukerman helping me out, everybody. Let's hear it for Scott Aukerman. I don't know why he flipped you off, but that's what he did, because I can say that that's what he did. All right. Wow, that was great. That was a great way to eat up the first few minutes of the podcast. Those of you who are listening right now, maybe for the first time ever, this is pretty much what it's like every time, and you should unsubscribe. Goodbye. Hey, everybody, I love movies, and we're all here at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles to talk about movies. And tonight at Comedy Death Ray is going to be here at the UCB Theater is going to be a record release party, CD release party for Kyle Kinane, very funny guy. And his record is called Death of the Party. So those of you listening to the podcast now, it's too late to come down to UCB for this particular event. But I'm just telling you because I have no idea why I'm telling you. So you, or Entertainment Weekly, asked Glenn Close recently to name her favorite acting roles, and she responded by saying, "That's like Sophie's Choice." And I thought, you mean that picking your favorite parts is like choosing between which one of your children you'll never see again? And then she chose 101 Dalmatians, so at least she made it count. Time to bring out my guests. Is it that time already? Okay, we rearranged the table. Okay, yeah, we've done everything that we need to do to prepare for these amazing guests. It's the beginning of Black History Month as we tape this on February 2nd, 2010. So please welcome to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Graham Elwood and Sam Levine. Hey, guys.
Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Nice to see you. These are both I Love Movie veterans. One is an incredibly talented and insanely funny performer, and the other one is Graham Elwood.
Saw that one coming.
Bullshit.
I heard you shaking my head.
Two funny guys, two friends of mine, and now you're all sitting there saying, here in the audience, the live audience, there's an empty seat. Why is there one seat vacant still? I know this is a fucking very unproduced program, but I can't imagine that Doug would be so high that he would have room and a microphone available for an extra guest who is not here. And Sam Levine helped to secure this guest for the show, so I'd like to give Sam the honors of introducing this very special guest.
Thank you so much, Doug. Well, first off, I did not do it alone. I did it with the help of this guest's awesome daughter, Jessie. If you
That's
are
a clue. Does anybody know it
if
yet?
If you are, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away on the first and last name. If you are a listener of this podcast, then you know there is a name that is uttered at least once every time in this podcast. So it is my great pleasure to introduce to you the namesake of Doug Benson's game, Mr. Leonard Maltin.
Wow.
Yeah,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Outstanding.
Dude. I thought it was going to be Brad Pitt. That would have been so stupid. This is so much better.
I thought it was going to be William Dafoe.
William Dafoe. Yeah.
Did you say William Dafoe?
He said William.
I call him William.
I'm going to murder you.
William.
It's not William Dafoe. Oh, this is my drink over here. I took the label off of mine so there wouldn't be any confusion. Can you believe it, you guys? Leonard Maltin is here. I just met him backstage.
Happy to be here.
I'm losing my mind. This is so cool. What does the patch on your shirt mean?
I'm a fan of the New York World's Fair from 1939-40. I was not there, wasn't alive, but I love reading about it and seeing photos of it. And those are the symbols, the Trilon and Perisphere. And this is the 1940 year patch, and I bought the patch and put it on a shirt, and that's what I'm wearing. But this is radio. This is a podcast, so it doesn't mean very much.
Yeah,
anything.
Well, but you described it beautifully.
Thank you.
It's got a like a geodesic dome sphere thingy.
Yeah.
And then a tall pointy thingy.
Uh-huh. That's right.
It's like if Epcot and the Washington Monument were next to each other.
There you go.
On there a patch go.
Right before World War II.
I couldn't have said it better.
Nicely done, Graham Elwood. So let's see. I wrote down some questions in case we ran out of stuff to talk about. First of all, may I call you Len? Because I say Len all the time when I say it's time for the Len Maltin game.
Well, that's when I'm not here. Today, call me Leonard.
Okay, Leonard. But that's good, though. He's basically giving me permission to use it when in his absence. So
yeah,
next week,
fine.
He's going to be back to the name that shall not be spoken this week.
That's right. Right.
So, Leonard, how many...
is he saying I'm the Voldemort of film critics? What is that?
No, you're definitely not. I think I know who that is.
Okay.
That's anyone who says something just to be quoted in the ad.
Yeah.
That you must hate those people. Because you have genuine opinions.
I don't hate those people. I hate the process. I hate the idea that's how they advertise movies. I'll tell you... A little inside story. Would you like a little inside story? Here's an inside story. Is that every now and then, if I'll go to an advanced screening of a movie, I'll get an email from a publicist for the studio, let's say the next day, they're saying, did you like the movie? I'll write back and say, no, yes, whatever. I'm always honest with them. And they say, if you liked it, would you be willing to give us a quote? Now, if I really like the movie, and it's a movie I think people ought to go to see, I got no problem. Being quoted about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't write good quotes. Good quotes are, I laughed till I cried. I don't write quotes like that. So they never like my quotes. But then they'll try to persuade me sometimes. They'll say, it would really mean a lot if you gave us a quote. We'd really appreciate having a quote from you on this movie. And either I'll try or I'll say, that's the best I could do. And then I'll pick up the ad when it comes out, and they'll have quoted... Fred Fleibisch from the East Overshoe Gazette, it's like, that means as much to you as my quote would have? They don't care whose quote it is. They're looking, they've pre-written these quotes in their head. They really have. They want somebody to say the funniest film of the summer. And whoever is the first one to say that will get quoted.
Right.
No matter who it is. So it's really insulting, actually.
Yeah, and especially when they said that about District 9. That seemed very misleading, because that movie's kind of heavy. Precious, it's the laugh riot of the year.
That's right. Yeah,
The Road, the best family movie of the season.
Did you hear that? He said The Road.
Nobody saw The Road.
One guy wrote to me on Twitter today, how come no love for The Road at the Oscars? I was like, did you see The Road? Like, that is heavy, that movie. It's rough. Did you see it?
Yeah, it is a tough one. I thought Viggo Mortensen might have been nominated. It's a really good performance.
Yeah, why did he get shut out? I guess there's kind of a last-minute push for Colin Firth. Everybody's into him in that movie. Mm-hmm. He's good. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great. He was teaching his son how to kill himself so he doesn't get eaten by people. How can you not win for that? You know, he's like, here you go, son. Not this way, right up through the brain. Yeah. Like, that's good business. That's good parenting.
Yeah, don't just shoot it straight into your mouth, because then you're going to walk around with a hole in the back of your head and brains.
That's right. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You're still going to be able to think about what you just did.
That's postmodern parenting.
Yeah, that's what it is, exactly.
I had such a problem with
Apoco
that movie.
Parenting.
I wanted to see that kid get eaten by cannibals. He deserved it. He was a whining little kid who didn't want to learn anything from his father. He was unwilling to learn.
Do you know who I want to see die in Inglourious Bastards?
Who's that, Doug?
There's this one little whiny character.
Whiny?
Now, I don't know if people know this. I'm jumping all around now, but I find it so exciting that there's a scene in Inglourious Bastards where Sam Levine makes a cameo, not as Hirschberger.
Hirschberg.
It's all Jews to you, isn't it, Doug? Wow.
So,
Hirschstein.
Yeah. Hirschwitz is, but there's another scene in the movie. Do you want to say it, or should I say it?
No, go for it.
There's a scene where Hitler's getting his portrait painted, right?
That's right.
And Sam is the artist. He's got a little, like, crazy Italian mustache
and a giant wig on.
And a wig.
Scaffold painting the portrait.
Yeah, and he's the one painting it. So go back and watch that again.
Rewind.
And go, you know what? They described it well enough. Now that I'm looking at it, it's not adding anything to it.
Nope. Not a thing.
I'm not like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't know that was Sam Levine.
Yep.
Quentin Tarantino and his tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching The View this morning.
Oh my God.
Oh, Doug.
Come on.
Because Mario Cantone did his Grammy wrap-up.
Oh,
and I love to be screamed at gay references while I'm trying to eat my cereal. But the one hilarious thing he said about Quentin Tarantino when they showed him walking out, did you see him on the Grammys?
I did.
Quentin's somehow packed on a few, like, since a couple weeks ago. He looked big. Maybe it was the shirt he was wearing. Mm. But Mario Cantone said, did he eat John Travolta? So I enjoyed that. But... back to, let's go to the Oscar nominations that came out today, so...
Was that today?
Yeah!
Oh, jeez!
You set your alarm for 5:30 today, didn't you?
I slept in today.
You slept through it?
Oh.
You missed it completely?
I miss all the good stuff.
What do you think about this 10 movies being nominated?
I was actually there today.
Oh, okay, you were there behind Sam Rubin, but facing the action.
Something like
instead
that,
instead of a camera.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think about this 10 movies being nominated for Best Picture stuff?
Well, I was very
scared. It seems to have worked. Avatar in there.
Because,
and District 9.
Right. District 9
would popular
have had
movies,
hard,
I mean.
District 9 would have had a hard time getting in the top five, I think. And it's a great movie. So I'm really happy that just for that.
That got in there.
Exactly. I think what happened was everything's clawing at the Oscars' supremacy as the granddaddy of all these awards. It's the only one that has real history, real tradition, and real respect. But all these other shows have come along.
It comes after
and
a million shows
thunder.
Each year.
Exactly. You've seen the clips, you've seen the acceptance speeches, you've seen the gowns. It's harder and harder for them to keep their position in that arena. So they're trying to do things, and I give them credit for trying. I didn't see how they were going to fill a list of 10.
Yeah, they picked the worst year to do it.
Exactly, but it's a pretty good list. It's really not bad.
It's a good list if you have to pick 10.
Exactly.
But if you were just like, what were your favorite movies last year? You'd name 3 or 4 of those.
Yep,
you
absolutely.
Wouldn't name all 10
I
of
agree
them.
Completely.
They're not all for everybody. Like, no. I didn't. There's a few on there that I don't think are that great.
I agree with
Blindside.
Well, Blindside was the big surprise, right?
Yes.
Like,
yep.
The audience kind of shrieked when it was announced today.
No, that was the publicist shrieking.
The publicists were shrieking, yay!
Yeah.
I'm not going to be fired! Yeah, it's a bad economy for publicists probably right now, because it all hinges on something like that. But that movie was it was a great story.
Yeah,
told in a decent manner.
It's
a total crowd pleaser. So that and Avatar will, you know, the fact that they're nominated for Best Picture will probably, you know, probably will make viewership spike a little bit.
I hope so. I mean, that was their goal. If it works, you know, I think it's fine. And it does give some, you know, a nice boost to some films like An Education and District 9 that are good movies.
Yeah, those are both really good.
That, you know, that and maybe it'll inspire somebody to want to see them who wasn't interested before. That's a good thing, too.
And this was the first time there were nominees that I'd never heard of. Like, I mean, obviously, the foreign films and short subject, there's some that I haven't heard of. But what is Secret of Kells in the animation?
Yeah, well, that's a film that hasn't been released yet that they did 1 week. No, they did a,
They did a one-week thing in L.A.?
Yeah, they did a one-week
run.
Oh, I
missed it.
Those are always in Fallbrook or someplace like that. they book them for 1 week just to qualify. My friends who are really into animation tell me it's a very good film and it's
I'd imagine it's very good if it squeaked in there and beat out, you know, Cloudy and
right and with Ponyo partial and meatballs. All those other possibilities.
Cloudy with partial meatballs. Oh, I wish I could see the sun. There's a meatball up there. It's not as exciting in 3D to have a meatball just actually hanging in the sky like a cloud.
No. I read a good statistic. 12 of the 20 acting nominees are first-time nominees.
Oh, that makes sense.
So there's a lot of newcomers.
Yeah. You know?
One person's clapping. Let's hear it for the new people. The Meryl Streep's been running this show for too long. She could get nominated. Like, you know, if she wasn't in Julie and Julia, she probably would have gotten nominated for It's Complicated anyway. Like, she's just like... he didn't like It's Complicated.
You know what? It's not. It's not that complicated.
It's not really. My ex-husband wants to get back together with me, but I've met this new guy. Okay. Wait, where was the complicated part?
Exes.
Oh, I have to redesign. I have to have my kitchen redesigned. That's the complicated part.
And then the whole
part.
Scene, like all the kids are like, "Oh my God, are mom and dad back together?" I'm sure more than half this audience has adult parents who are divorced, like me. Would you give a shit if your parents hooked up? Would you be like, "All right, whatever. What happened to stepmom? Is she still coming to Christmas, or do I have to buy her a gift now, or is she just fucking on the road?" Like, they're all crying because that generation, our parents' generation, still thinks their divorces fucking matter, and all of us are like, "Eh, divorce, whatever." You know, I mean, I married a stripper. We're not still married. It doesn't fucking matter. Things change.
Wait,
what's the language in front of Leonard?
Oh.
Our esteemed guest, you're over here screaming.
Well, go back and listen to this podcast of how you introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a fucking big goddamn guest because I'm so...
I did not say that.
I'm so fucking ding-doggity stoned.
I did not say that.
I've been soaking my face in a big fat sack of cock-sucking weed. Ladies and gentlemen, Leonard Bolton.
I didn't say any of that.
I don't.
Great.
But I'm gonna if he ever comes back. If he's ever back on the show again. Any snubs today in the nominations in your mind?
I don't like that word. It's like it's deliberate.
Like, right. I'm gonna vote against that.
We're gonna get Viggo Mortensen this year.
Yeah, but he would be one. He would be an example of one. Anybody else? I don't think there was nothing.
You
that
liked
I
An Education?
Yeah.
Alfred Molina. He should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He's a great actor.
Always
good. And it's a great part, and he did a beautiful job, and I wish he'd been nominated. I don't understand why Stanley Tucci's nominated for The Lovely Bones when he should have been nominated for Julie and Julia.
He's really great in Julie and Julia.
He's great in that. He and Meryl Streep are so much fun to watch together in that movie. I think that's the one.
Yeah, Lonely Bones is like a total glasses and haircut performance.
Yeah.
Like it was just, he looked like a creep, and then he stood around looking like a creep.
Yeah, he's a good actor, and he did well.
Did it really
everyone on the set was like, ugh, when he walked in each day. Craft Services didn't always make the best, you know, didn't keep things fresh for him because they thought he might really be a child molester. But that's the other thing is that they take the you know, I don't want to be insensitive, but you know, in the book the girl is, you know, abused before he kills her, and in the movie they just make it into a murder.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many creepy pedophile types that just want to murder the girl and then bury her, and that's their whole deal. I don't even know if that's ever happened. I'm not an expert on that sort of thing. But that movie was just like, I could, you know, if intent were everything, it would be a 4-star movie.
Yeah.
But what did it end up getting on your scale of 1 to 4?
2.5.
Yes.
Yeah.
You nailed it, Len.
Yeah.
Hard.
Good save, Doug. Good save. Wait, as far
I'm just so used to saying it that I can't change.
No,
I'm
no
so
sweat.
Like, okay, good.
Can I just say that as far as supporting such actors nice goes, it really didn't matter who the other four nominees were because that is the most...
Because who doesn't want to see Christoph Waltz give another horrible speech?
What?
He is the worst. I mean, I know that
how
English isn't necessarily
you
his first language, but he showed
English
us that he's got five or six languages in his canon.
That's a joke.
So why can't he give a good speech? The one at the what was it, the
Globes?
No, the
Screen Actors Guild.
Yes. No, the Grammys. The But then what's the one with had the word choice in it?
Didn't People's
the
Choice.
He People's won the People's Choice? Choice?
Yeah.
He did?
Critics' Choice.
Critics' Choice. That's
Critics'
it.
Choice. There you go.
Critics' Choice. Or did he win the Taster's Choice?
He did.
In the
they're gonna reshoot those commercials from the 80s with him and that lady.
In the Critics' Choice, he went up there and picked a language. He picked a dialect somewhere in between the 18 languages he knows, and he said, "There are a lot of choices. When there are choices, this was an excellent choice." He just like thought, since it's Critics' Choice, I'll do a speech that says "choice" over and over again.
I didn't see
and
that
it was
one.
Brutal. Oh, you didn't see it? That's the other thing. Why isn't Sam Levine jumping up there when the cast wins an award?
For two reasons.
Because you were like, if Brad's not going to be there, I'm not going to be there.
That's reason one. It's not worth my time unless BP is showing up.
So are you having marriage troubles as well? Is that why?
I am. I don't want to expose myself right now to the media. No, I was in Sundance during the SAG Awards.
Oh, okay.
That is why I was not there.
And right. Gays can't get married. So it's really... Yeah.
I will not show up to an awards ceremony until everyone who wants to get married can.
That's really... That's so sweet.
Yeah, whoever moaned me can suck it. I was saying something nice. Leonard, I apologize for the poor language. Mr. Moulton, sir, I
no
don't
apologies.
Want you to give this podcast less than 3 stars.
No, that's fine.
Just your performance in it.
He's too busy with movies to rate podcasts. Because that was the question I was going to ask you right up at the top. How many movies do you have to see everything? Do you feel like you have to see
no,
everything?
No, no. First, I've gotten choosier as I've gotten older. I've decided that indeed life is too short to spend any of it watching any more teen slasher movies.
Right.
Or there's a movie opening Friday called Frozen about some people who are stuck on a ski lift. And it's like, wait a minute.
You know, these are the movies that put food on my
table. That's right. And I'm grateful for the...
Ski lift operator number two. The one who goes to get help right away and you never see him again.
No, but I'm secure in the knowledge, Doug, that no matter what I say or don't say about that movie, it's going to make a damn bit of difference to the fate of that movie.
Right, right.
Whether I review it, don't review it, hate it, love it, that movie has its life. You know, it has its mm-hmm. niche, its following, whatever it's going to be. That's fine. I don't have to go to see it. And why would you want to go to see, in the dead of winter, a movie called Frozen? Is that appealing to
someone?
Yeah,
well, I don't know. I think they'll sell a lot of tickets in Florida or whatever.
Maybe so.
But yeah.
So anyway, I'm gotten more selective, and I don't have a gig that demands that I review absolutely everything. In my annual book, I have a team of people working with me. Let's one of them
minions.
Go see Frozen.
Let's call them minions.
That's right. Elves. My movie elves.
I love it.
Yeah.
That is so cute. But wouldn't elves hate movies that like feature tall actors? Like, aren't they biased?
Aren't you? No, aren't you making assumptions?
I am. I'm making an ass out of you, an umption.
They hated.
To quote, I believe it was Samuel L. Jackson in The Last Kiss Goodnight. Is that what it was called?
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
You've seen these movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I've seen a lot of movies, but I haven't seen the number of movies because for a while there, you were a dedicated see it all critic.
There was a period. I was on a show called Hot Ticket for 3 years, a weekend movie review show where I really did have to see everything.
What was your scale on that?
It's debilitating.
See it or don't see it?
No, hot or not.
Hot or not. Schindler's List is hot.
Yeah.
Frozen is not.
That's right. They always want shorthand. They always want some form of shorthand.
Yeah, but didn't the Is Hot label kind of feel like Precious is hot? Like there's every year there's going to be a movie that it's weird to call it hot.
The whole thing was weird. I didn't break it down by film by film.
Yeah, yeah. But that's good that you didn't have to.
But for 3 years, I really had no life because I had to go see everything. And when, believe me, as much as you love movies, or as I love movies, or any of these guys, and we're all movie buffs, you know, but there's a difference between really enjoying movies and going to see a lot, or maybe binging one day, I'm going to see three in a row, I'm going to see four in a row, because you feel like doing it, just for the hell of it. There's a big difference between that and being told, you got to go see this movie, you got to go see it at 10 o'clock Monday morning, and be at the screening room at 10 o'clock Monday morning to see Frozen. And then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you have to drive all the way across town. I'm not whining. It's a great gig. truly. I mean, people don't want to hear whine when you get paid to see movies. No, but I'm just saying that
people don't get it, all of them is too much, and it ruins it. And the truth is, they get to choose is part of the fun for them.
Well, exactly.
Not for us.
Because the truth is, there are more bad ones than good ones. There's certainly more mediocre ones than good ones.
And repetitive, that's my problem. Mm-hmm. Like my issue with Avatar is just that, as amazing as the technology is, the storytelling is all been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like every beat of that story.
Pocahontas in space. I mean, that's what that movie is.
Or Ferngully.
Yeah, and Graham Elwood did not see Ferngully or Pocahontas.
What about Dances with Wolves?
I can guarantee you that. Yeah, Dances with Wolves is another one everybody brings up. Yeah. But I also think he borrows from his own oeuvre. Like his own past movies have a lot of the same beats. You know, but you know, it is.
But it's a great movie going experience.
Yes. Well, I think it should be like a best event movie of the year.
Yeah.
And it should be the biggest event movie of all time. Like the fact that they're saying it's beaten Titanic and Dark Knight and even Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, but it has.
Those movies were all more popular. Yeah. They just didn't cost $17,
right,
you know, to see in 3D with the glasses and the IMAX.
Right.
Let's go to a caller. Okay, so enough about me. I've been whining about Avatar since the day it opened, and it's very tiresome. So let's skip over to another one of my pre-planned questions. Ooh. Back to the Oscars.
Exciting.
Worst best picture ever. Worst movie to win best picture. I know what mine is.
We'll get one from each of the panelists. Yours?
Mine is Around the World in 80 Days.
Wow. Well, that's probably a candidate.
Yeah, because it was made to show off a widescreen format like Cinerama, yeah. And it was basically just like long scenes of like watching an elephant parade in India.
Nothing
ever happens. It's supposed to be about dudes getting around the world in 80 days, and they stop off in each place and just hang out like they got all the time in the world.
The one that people usually cite if they're going back to that period, like the 50s, is The Greatest Show on Earth, Cecil B. DeMille's circus movie, which came out the same year as High Noon, which didn't even get nominated. You know, High Noon did get nominated, but Singin' in the Rain didn't even get nominated that year.
Wow, somebody got punched in the balls really in the audience.
Right.
That was the most manly anger about Singing in the Rain. How could that happen?
But I happen to love The Greatest Show on Earth. I haven't loved all the films in recent. I mean, I don't think A Beautiful Mind is a great movie.
Yeah, how about Crash?
That one slipped through.
Crash winning Best Picture?
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Crash is a movie that has good things in it.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought Brokeback Mountain kind of got robbed in that one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Queer.
I mean, I'm not going to.
We've already established this.
I'm not going to go back.
Lover.
I'm not going to go back and watch either of them. I'm good from the first viewing. Yeah. You know, because like Brokeback Mountain is as great as it is. It's slow going until they start getting it on, and then it's two dudes are getting it on. So it's like never. Oh. It's never pleasant.
It's never pleasant.
And now to go back and look at it, because like Heath Ledger in that movie and Dark Knight and a couple other things he did, he was clearly going to be the amazing actor of all time. Like he was poised to be the new like Sean Penn, I think.
I wish they would have done this 10 Best Picture nominations a year ago so Dark Knight could have got a nomination, because I think that movie was like...
I don't think it needed to expand to 10 for that movie to be nominated.
Yeah, no doubt.
They could have kicked out. I don't even remember. Like the next year, do you ever remember what was nominated?
No, of course not.
It's so hard. It's so hard to remember.
It's so intense while it's it's very intense while it's happening, and then it goes in the record books, and you move on.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
unless
I
you're Tom O'Neill, like that guy that knows all the statistics and shows
true.
Up on every show.
Yep.
And says this is going to win, and then when it doesn't, he goes, "Here's why it didn't." I'm an expert. But it does seem kind of a lot of foregone conclusions. Like Christoph Waltz is going to win, and
Sandra Bullock
seems to kind of have a lock on that. Monique is definitely going to win. Mm-hmm. And then who's the actor that's going to win?
Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Bridges, of course. Well, who's always great.
Like, who's always great,
he's,
exactly.
But he's getting the, you know, the Paul Newman Color of Money Award.
He's getting the It's About Time Award.
Yeah, for exactly. sure. Because he's great in it, but it's not like he hasn't been great repeatedly.
Right.
You know? And this one kind of showcases the acting to the detriment of the film. It's not a great movie.
Yeah,
it's just a great performance. Like, there's always a couple of those for Best Actor and Best Actress where there's
a
great performance, but then the movie's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, Walk the Line was filled
that's a good
with
example.
Two great performances. And just
Reese won for that, right?
She did, yeah.
Yeah, that was deserved. Do you know John Lithgow by any chance, like personally?
I've met him.
Met him. Nice guy, right?
Very nice guy.
That's my next. I've been trying to, you know, you just sort of dropped in my lap. I mean, you've been a dream guest from day one. But when Sam came along and said he could hook it up, I was like, let's do this. But I'm also trying to get in this calendar year John Lithgow because he's in the movie 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it'd be fun to talk to him about while he was making that movie, if he thought by 2010 he'd be murdering people in bathtubs. In the nude.
That may turn
Graham's
out to be
looking at me like, what? He played
a
serial killer on Dexter this last year.
Oh.
And he's winning all sorts of awards for it.
Graham doesn't own a TV. Thought you were being serious.
No, he just doesn't watch
Dexter.
It's
like the guy from Garp is murdering people? That's messed up. Yeah. Nobody saw that.
Well,
according to Garp, Netflix Q, do it now.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, not great, because people would die, but wouldn't that be awesome if, like, some famous actor decided to be a serial killer, and then when they finally got caught, everybody was like, what? Famous actor has 18 bodies in his basement?
Do two people count as a serial killer?
What a shithead!
Does two people count as a serial killer? Because we already have O.J. Simpson. Oh, I took a shot at a murderer.
Wow.
Come down hard on me.
Wow.
Alleged murderer. He's guilty of trying to rob his own shit back, but he's just an alleged murderer.
And guilty in the civil suit.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
He owes a lot of money to the Wax Mustache Foundation.
And thank you for moaning that thing that happened 16 years ago. We really appreciate you. Hey,
there's some things people...
Too soon, Sam.
Hey, he wasn't convicted.
Too soon,
He wasn't
Sam.
Convicted.
Some people just don't get over stuff. So, I guess we got to play the Leonard Maltin game.
I think we got to.
Yeah.
All
right. The time is running out on us already.
Now,
I had so many things I wanted to do.
I'm going to lose. Whatever game you play, based on...
Oh, believe me, I'm great at this game until I'm playing it in a pressure situation, then it's like, it's all gone. Like,
okay.
It's hard.
As long as
you list a lot
first.
Of actors
yeah.
with each movie. What was the decision behind that?
I love actors.
Because other guides don't so much.
I love actors. I love character actors and, you know, supporting actors, and I like to see them get credit for what they do, especially if they have a good part, even if it's a small part. So I do tend to list a lot of people.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's how Sam got listed in another teen movie or whatever. Or whatever. I'm so disdainful of his. He's got a million credits, and I'm sitting over here. I was in Super High Me.
Oh, you don't even use the old-fashioned book. You have the app?
Yeah, I go app.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, wow. I tap on your face, and we're off to the races.
All right. Wow. No. Say it right. Doug, wait a minute. Get it right.
Wait, everybody. The great Leonard Maltin, everybody.
Wait. Get it right. You pay $2.99.
No, it's
you tap
$5.
On my face.
It's $5.
Oh, you bought it the first week.
Oh, it's gone down?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You can owe
what happened
people.
To stock in Leonard Maltin's face?
That's how you know Doug's not Jewish. Right there.
Yeah, I bought it. As soon as it was available, I bought it for the $5. But $5, $3, once you pay it, they send you updates.
Yep.
All the time, and you're good to go, and it's just
now the guys who program this have really done a great job.
Yeah, I really like it. It's laid out nicely. I can get around without screwing.
You get a
out
taste every time somebody downloads it, Leonard.
Little piece of the action.
Yes, I do.
Hey, hey.
Yes, I do.
Attaboy.
Hey, hey. And
I like hearing that because I always hate the, like, I invented this thing and everyone uses it and they paid me a nickel and now I'm living in a box. I'm glad you're like, nope, I came here on a magic carpet, you sons of bitches.
While Doug is looking up a movie, I just want to promote the show you and I were talking about before. On the Reels channel, a show called Secrets Out that Leonard has been hosting for 4 seasons now. I did not know that. I've only been watching it about a year and a half. It's a really great show if you like movies. Find the Reels channel on your R-E-E-L-Z.
Reels like channel. Reels. There's a web component, reelschannel.com.
And Secrets Out, what's the premise of the
weekly,
show?
Weekly half-hour show where I talk about and show excerpts from good movies you may have missed. New indie films and foreign films and documentaries that are playing in theaters or newly released on DVD. And then we do one classic every episode. And sometimes we have interview guests. And it's a great forum, great showcase for me to talk about films I like.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to have to figure out if I have Reels. I don't know if I do. Does anybody
know? DirecTV.
It's on DirecTV.
Nationwide, and it's on a lot of cable systems as well.
I have it.
Would you like somebody to play for you tonight, sir?
To play it for me.
And what's your name?
Justin. What the hell is going on?
Justin. Okay, Sam, you're playing for Justin.
All right, Justin.
Yeah, there's prizes involved in this too, so don't feel the pressure, Leonard. All right, and what's your name?
Marianne.
Who would you like to have play for you?
Leonard.
Leonard, yeah, of course. I don't know why this idiot picked Sam.
I don't know why you picked me.
I meant Justin. All right. But I already forgot your name.
Marianne.
Justin, Marianne. I'm just going to call you Mary Jane. That's easier for me. And what's your name, sir?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, and you would like Graham to play for you. Yeah. I mean, I know you would like Graham to play for you, but he's going to. So I'm sorry about that. Apologize in advance. You guys remember the names of your players?
No. Justin?
Yes. Graham forgot his already.
I apologize in advance, Marianne, for my poor performance.
What's your name again? Graham already forgot.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, blow your horn. Let's do it.
You're going to forget again, aren't you?
No, I got it. That thing locked it in.
All right.
Big guy, sweetie, angel.
Let's let Leonard start it off. You get to pick what year the movie's going to be from. The category, in honor of you, is movies that begin with the letter L.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All of the movies tonight on the show are going to begin with the letter L.
And, Little Shop of Horrors.
Please, no pre-guessing.
I'm sorry.
I don't have time to delete that now, and it's going to get. I'm going to end up saying it later. Not really. that was fake anger, part of it. Okay. Do you want to, Leonard, would you like to do a movie from 1991, 92, or 2006?
Oh, you choose. I really don't. I don't have a preference.
Well, no, I mean, you know, this is like part of the game. Like, it's strategy.
It's part of the game.
Strategy,
oh, my goodness.
Like, I'll be easier to remember something from 2006, or I already know an L word from 91. An ill title. So 91, 92, or 2006?
92.
All right, here we go. This movie is a motion picture. You or one of your minions, one of your elves,
right,
gave this 2.5 stars.
Okay.
Begins with the letter L. It's from 1992. And I'll give you a little quote from it, see if you even recognize that. you call one of the performers in this movie never credible.
Okay. Right.
That probably knocked 1.5 stars off right there.
Okay.
Wow.
And there are 10 names. So you can start the bidding with, I can name that movie in 10 names, or you can leap down to 2 or 3.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I'll read them from the bottom, of course.
I'll try to name that movie in 5 names.
Ooh. All right. So Sam can either try to underbid you, or he can say, Leonard Maltin, name that movie.
I'm a gambling man. I'll try for 4 names.
Whoa. Graham Elwood.
Name that movie, Little Sammy.
All right, Sam. Good luck with this.
1992.
I would not know this.
Thanks.
All right. Dolores Hall.
Of course.
Nobody who knows who that is. My apologies to Dolores and her family. Can you imagine, like, her kid listens to my podcast?
Her kid's an old man?
She's got a weird Benjamin Button baby. All right, and then LaShawn's is a name. Does that help you at all?
No.
I think LaShawn's is on Broadway a lot. I think she's black. And then MC Gainey.
Oh, I know him.
He's worked that big guy. Big yeah. guy. What'd you work with him in?
On a movie called Club Dread.
Fun. Yeah. I like that movie. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay.
I think you gave Club Dread a bomb.
I wouldn't blame him.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Entirely
okay,
possible.
But anyway.
Wow. Philip Seymour Hoffman and MC Gainey in what have to be small roles in a movie from 1992.
Right? There's nobody
First
here
movie
knows
I
this.
I even really remember Philip Seymour Hoffman in was the...
Take your time with it.
Al Pacino, where he's blind.
Right, right. Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, he was in Scent of a Woman and Twister, and he was in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He was always an annoying character.
Yeah.
And I thought he was an annoying person. And then he finally played like a nice character, and I went, oh my God, he's just been an amazing actor all this time.
Yeah.
That guy is fantastic. I mean, I love him in everything now, but I used to see him in stuff, and they always made him play like the jerky villain character. Like,
he was always the rich.
Scent of a Woman, that was such a. Poorly,
he was always,
you know,
that kid. He was always the like rich entitlement kid who was like, hey, what, you know, like my dad'll pay for it. He was always that guy.
All right, so jump in if you know it. Meatloaf, Lucas Haas, Liam Neeson, Lolita Davidovich, Deborah Winger, and Steve Martin.
Leap of Faith.
Who is never credible in Leap of Faith. Should have given you what? We're playing a game.
I would have gotten that. I love
with
that.
With more time?
My favorite Steve Martin movie.
You want to tell us more stories about
Steve Martin? Favorite Steve Martin movie. Really? How many people have seen this movie, Leap of Faith?
I like it.
It's awesome. Steve Martin plays a fake like faith healer who goes on a traveling evangelist like road show, and it's basically they're scam artists, and it's amazing. Ricky Jay,
you're up first, Graham
was
Elwood.
A consultant
this is
on
from
the movie.
Either 1991. No, I do. I might give it 3 stars. I might go higher than the Leonard Maltin guy.
Who's never credible in that though?
But Steve Martin, he's like he's right. Like, I think Steve Martin would be better at playing that role now than he was at that time. He put a little too much wild and crazy guy moves in there. He was still a little too much like a comedian. But you're right. It is an interesting movie. Like the way they show the behind the scenes of the scams and how those things work is actually it's pretty entertaining. All right. That said. Shut up. Let's play the game. Graham, do you want to do 91, 2006, or 76? 1976. This is an L title. Don't take too long to think about
91.
It. 91. We gotta get going.
Stop talking.
You stop. Stop. Okay. All right, you go first, Graham. 2.5 stars again. This time I'd agree. I might even give it less. It's an L title. And it says several of the lead actor in the movie says several of that person's cronies make cameo appearances. Oh, wait. And it says a deleted scene with John Lithgow was added to the film's cable TV debut. Does that give it away for you?
No.
Okay, good. That's a pretty good clue, though.
But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And but also the timing that I didn't pick it because John Lithgow was cut out of it.
There you go.
But now here he is. So I'll have to ask him about that if I ever get him on the show this year. His son wrote to me on Twitter and gave me his email address, but he hasn't written back to me. Maybe it's because I said, hi, I want to take a bath with you. Okay, Graham. This has 9 names.
I can name it in 6.
Oh, look at him go. Leonard, do you think you can do it in less? Or do you want him to name that movie?
Name that movie, Graham.
Nice. Ooh,
nicely played. Nicely played.
So, well, sir.
Iman is in this movie. Or Iman.
Iman.
Yeah. Oh, would you go out with her or something?
Yeah, I was her rebound guy after she broke up with Bowie.
She carried around in her pocket for a couple weeks? Okay.
It was like Cirque du Soleil. Let's do it.
Patrick Stewart is in this movie. Maybe he's one of those cronies that he was talking about. Sam McMurray, who I know who that is, Sam McMurray. He was on Tracy Ullman's show. He
played my father on Freaks and Geeks.
Shut up.
Just saying.
I'm just kidding. That's an awesome piece of information.
He's in Raising Arizona.
Kevin Pollak is also a friend of yours, friend of mine.
Yeah.
We love his podcast. We appear
on
there.
Every week.
Sarah Jessica Parker. What do you get, 6 names? One more, Mary Lou Henner. Do you know it already?
How did you not give me this movie? I could have gotten it 2 names.
Well, watch him not get it.
So I should have had Leap of Faith, though. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, so Graham's got a point. Leonard's got a point. The movie was the rest of the names are Richard E. Grant, Victoria Tennant, and Steve Martin.
L.A. Story.
L.A. Story.
It's two Steve Martin led films you picked.
But 2.5, I'd agree with that. It doesn't quite work. It's got some very cute, wonderful moments. I like when the freeway signs tell him things. Mm-hmm. That's good.
See, that's better.
Because I wish they'd tell me things instead of just some girls missing.
Is better than Crash. You know what I mean? In my opinion, L.A. Story is better than Crash.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting comparison. Okay, Sam, we'll let you go first this time as a consolation prize for me playing my own game the way I want to play it.
How dare you?
2006, 76, or 2006. See, that's dumb on my part.
Hmm.
Two different 2006. Do you want the first 2006 or the second 2006?
Ooh, I'll go with the first 2006.
Or 76. You go with the first one? Yeah. All right, this is a good one.
Okay.
All right. This is yours to lose, Sam.
It sure is.
Yeah. Four stars for Mr. Malton and his crew.
Kind of like that.
Which year did we settle?
His posse. We settled on 2006.
Okay.
And let's get a clue out of here. Oh, I'll just one word I'll throw in there. It's good. Spellbinding.
I've got it.
See, you've got what it takes to be in quotes and ads. Spellbinding is a good word to use. And there are 12 names. Sam Levine, how many names can you name this spellbinding four-star L word from 2006?
Six names.
Six names. Graham?
Name that movie.
Wow. How many names did he get? Six?
Six names.
Here we go. Do you have any idea?
I have some.
You've got some ideas?
Yeah, I got some ideas.
All right. Raymond J. Barry.
All right.
Great name.
Oh, didn't play your dad anything, did he?
No. No, he did not. Never worked with Raymond J. Barry yet.
Jane Addams.
Okay.
Mary B. McCann. Mm. Don't know who that is. Helen Carey. Mm-mm. Trini Alvarado. I only have one more name.
I think I have it.
You think you have it?
I think I have
Oh, God. That'll be so exciting if you have it. Phyllis Somerville was in this movie. Oh, Phyllis.
Is it Little Miss Sunshine?
No, but that's sort of a guess.
I thought Jane Addams was in that.
No. It's Little Children.
Yes!
Ah, the other little. Oh. The other little.
He knows Spellbinding.
Leonard Maltin. I can't be Leonard Maltin.
Yeah.
But Graham did officially win the game, mostly by not knowing anything and just making Sam miss the questions. So, Gabriel, I remembered, Gabriel, you win a two trunk to dweet t-shirt. I can't even say it right. It's hard to say. You win one of those. You win a copy of my CD, Professional Humoredian, still available at AST Records, if anybody wants to pick one up. It's a nice little independent label. You want to throw yours in, Graham?
Yeah, let's do it.
Graham's got a CD. It's called The Comedian's Got a Boo-Boo. Where can people get that?
They can get it on iTunes and also at comedyfilmnerds.com.
And this is a piece de resistance. Since I have the app now, I don't need the big clunky book anymore. So you win a copy of Leonard Maltin's 2010 movie guide signed by me.
All right. That's a rare item.
Please do sign it. Oh, you can get the too drunk to tweet shirt at donkeytees.com. I say that every week. I don't know why I have to say it anymore. And let's find out who the shitheads are going to be at the end of the show, because the losers get to choose. Oh, that's a good one. Mary Jane? Marianne? Really? Okay. Look at that. Oh, where'd you sign it? On the inside?
On the top.
Do you have a thing that you write?
It's hot.
For damn it!
Good.
How did you guess?
Good.
Okay. So, wait, what's happening? Oh, okay. He held it up over his head and got applause. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm the winner! All right, I got to write it down before I forget. I already forgot one of them. What was yours? Oh, yeah. All right.
Way to blow this up.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we go?
The Kevin Pollak Chat Show. KevinPollakChatShow.com every Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific. Check it out.
Oh, do you, are you on it like every week?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
You're like a sidekick now?
Indeed.
When I was on, you weren't there, so I'll have to come back and do it.
I was there, again. Doug. I just wasn't mic'd.
You were physically there. You just didn't say
I wasn't
anything.
Mic'd. Yeah. Right. Now well, I am.
Now you're mic'd. Yeah. All right.
I also have a movie podcast, ComedyFilmNerds.com podcast. It is available on iTunes. And I, of course, I'm on Graham Elwood, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook. Check out my tour dates. Buy my new CD. The Comedian's Got a Boo-Boo.
That's pretty much how you say it. And I see Leonard brought a new volume, a new book that
brand
he's
brand new
created.
Book coming out next week called Leonard Maltin's 151 Best Movies You've Never Seen.
Oh,
little
well,
essays
wow.
about
can I just turn
movies.
To any page and
yeah.
just see what's a best movie and
well,
see
I mean,
if I've
no,
never
no,
seen it?
You,
LA
probably, Story. You've probably seen it.
Maltese Falcon, what's that?
No, no, no.
No, then he's got in parentheses, 1931 version.
Ooh.
Yeah, you all think you're so clever laughing at my joke. But from 1931, what's the difference?
It's really interesting because it was made before the production code, so it's a little steamier in some ways, a little more raw. It's a very close adaptation of the Dashiell Hammett book, as nice. Was the John Huston one.
But all right, so there's 151 of those movies.
Most
in
of
there.
Them are most of them are contemporary movies. I have just a handful of old movies, but they're
are they are they. Is anybody going to be like, oh, I really want to see that and then not be able to get it somewhere?
No, they're
all available.
All available.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Leonard Maltin was here, you guys. This is historic.
Right there.
Absolutely historic. Graham Elwood, Sam Levine, Leonard Maltin, as always. Carson Daly is a shithead. And Tyler Perry is a shithead.
How excited are you?